Good evening, Rock Church. How are we doing? You guys all right? That worship was incredible stuff, huh? Wow, that's still Crosswhite. He knows a thing or two. I really appreciate that, man, and Pastor Tony as well. I used to go to this church. Actually, I'm still a part of this church. I'm one of the pastors of this church. God's got a real good sense of humor. But I got raptured out about 9 months ago to plant a church on the west side on Fridays in Taylorsville, and it's been awesome, but it's really cool coming back here every single time because there's so many new people. By raise of hands, who was not here like 6 months ago? Who's been coming to the Rock for like the last 6-7 months? By raise of hands, don't be scared. I'm not going to call you up on stage. Okay, I am. Just kidding. No, just kidding. Well, awesome. Hi. I'm so happy you're here. So a little bit about me. I was not born a Christian because biblically that's not true, but I became a Christian at 23 years old. Pastor Steele and Pastor Tony shared the gospel with me, and I got saved in this building on a Saturday night, which is a really neat thing. So God's been wonderful to me in that. So just a little, I'm excited to be here and hang out with you guys tonight. So, and I can't see the TV either. We'll be fine. So anyways, thanks for coming. This is week 3 of the Family United series, the marriage and parenting series. If you missed last week, Pastor Josh, old man Whitney, was here. He gave us the talk on sabermetrics, again, which has absolutely nothing to do with lightsabers, but actually parenting. And it was a great talk, and we also had the parenting conference this weekend, so how many of y'all went to that? Yeah. Wow, somebody's excited to go home and discipline their kids. Amen. Those pray for their kids, y'all. But anyways, so here we are. It was a great talk. He taught us about the things that God values in parenting. It's a great message. So, and tonight, I'm going to piggyback off of Pastor Billy from week 1. I'm going to dive back into this topic of marriage even more this evening. You have a handout. You can follow along. We'll get to this eventually. You can follow along if you'd like to. Helps you from falling asleep. But we're going to get back into this issue of marriage. And if you missed any of those messages from Pastor Josh or Pastor Billy, I urge you to go download them on the website, or you can download the Rock Church app. Those are valuable resources for you. So we have a lot to go over tonight. So buckle up if you're married, and if you're not married, just hold on tight. It's coming. But I've titled this message The Game Changer to kind of go along with the sports team thing, United theme that we came up with for this series. So let me ask y'all, did any of you ever play sports growing up? A couple people played sports, right on. Maybe high school, college, maybe somebody's here as a professional and you haven't told us yet. Or maybe you're just the indoor kid, so you've just seen the movies. But you guys have seen the movie, read the book. A team that's struggling throughout the whole game, and the other team just starts to just kind of take over, right? And every time they get the ball, it gets taken away. And every time the other team gets the ball, they score a touchdown, like taking candy from a baby. And it just seems like every attempt the team tries to get back in the game, it just gets worse, right? And with just a few minutes left in the game, it looks like there's no hope whatsoever. But then coach calls a timeout, and he draws all the boys in, and he's all down on one knee, right? And he looks all the boys in the eyes, and he gives them that million-dollar speech, and it charges them up to go out there, and it sparks a fire in the whole team, and they come back to win the game, and they lift Rudy up, and yay, everybody's so happy. Y'all seen that story, right? It's a great story of dedication and hard work, victory. When the team felt like laying down and taking the loss, coach stayed faithful to the game plan, and he sparked a fire in the team to go for it. And with hard work and dedication, it paid off. It changed the outcome of the game. It's a great movie. It's a tremendous story. We love those stories. In a vague way, that's a story of my team. You guys know my team. My prayer is pretty sweet. This is my beautiful wife, Celise, and that's my little homie, Wesley Knox. God's been really kind to me to give me such a wonderful friend in Celise, but things did not start good at all, and that's being pretty PG. And I've been in love with Celie since the day I met her, which is like back in 2002. So I'm getting old. I'm starting to get old, but we've been together pretty much ever since. But Celie and I learned firsthand how to do everything wrong for the first 6 years of our relationship. But there's this big issue in our relationship, and that is that we weren't Christians. Both of us were really proud and arrogant and immature, and we didn't know how to communicate or resolve conflict, and we just pretty much made mistakes all day. That's just kind of what we called Tuesday. But we had a horrible team. I love you, babe, but man, it was so bad because none of us were really even in the game. I mean, on paper, we lost the game before it even started. We had no coach, no wisdom, no guidelines, and then we met Jesus. Christ did an incredible audible in my life and in Celise's life, and we became Christians, and Jesus became the center of our lives, the focus of our lives, and everything changed after that. I know that sounds so cheesy, but it really did. I proposed to her in 2009, and we started the premarital counseling, and I got some in accountability with some awesome dudes. I read all the books on marriage, and we were married in 2010. And like I said, we drafted little Wesley in 2011. And then, I don't know if you guys know, we've been gone for a little while, but we're expecting baby number two in November. Yeah, a little baby girl. We entered the draft again this year, so the first round pick is baby Piper in November, so he'd be praying for that. That's awesome, but I'm grateful every day that God has been so kind to me to make a complete wreck of my old life, destroy my old team, and then give me this new one that's so much better. I mean, I like my team a lot. We're not perfect, but we both have our heads in the same game. We have an amazing coach now. Christ was the true game changer in our lives. That's my team. That's a little bit of my story. And so tonight, we're here for you. So I want you to think about your team, your marriage, your spouse. How are you and your spouse doing? How's the game looking? Are you in the lead? Are you getting spanked? Maybe you think you're the best. Maybe you're the Aaron Rodgers of marriage, right? Amen. Go Pack, go. You ever notice after football games, like Aaron Rodgers in his post-game interviews, like or LeBron James, they've blown out a team by like 40 points. And you'll always hear them, you'll always hear the best say in the interviews, like, you know what, we've made some mistakes. Yeah, you know, we could have done this better. You know, we've got to continue to work hard. We've got to keep our eyes on the goal. And that's the thing, even the greats recognize that they've got plenty of room for improvement. Or maybe you feel like things are on the brink of destruction. You may think that things are so bad that there's no hope in even trying anymore. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you feel like that's where your marriage is at tonight. Maybe it seems like it's only a matter of time before somebody throws in the towel and just calls it. But that doesn't need to be the case. You can get back in the game. You can take some advice from the greatest human coach of all time, Coach Vince Lombardi. Go Pack, go. Second Packers reference. It's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get up. You're going to get knocked down. I bet you a dollar your spouse is going to do that a few times, more than once. You're going to face many obstacles in your own life, many battles that you're going to face. You may be down by 20 points in the fourth and you don't even realize it. You will get knocked down. That's inevitable. But will you get back up? Whether your marriage is the greatest or it's the worst, everyone here, we could all agree that there is room for improvement in our marriages. Maybe tonight you're just casually dating somebody or flirting with a purpose, or maybe marriage is on the horizon. Maybe you're just a single guy or gal with the desire to be married one day. If that's you, there's a lot for you tonight as well. Don't check out. If anything, like Pastor Billy said from week one, maybe you're the one that should be taking the most notes tonight, huh? Think about it. So, what are some ways that we can protect our marriage? What are some practical things that we can do better? What can we avoid? How can we defend ourselves and our spouse from future attacks? Tonight we're going to look at some ways that with God's help, you can make a difference in your marriage. Again, we have some blanks. You can follow along. Let's pray, and we're going to dive in. Amen? Jesus Christ, I thank you for the worship. That was great, Jesus. I love coming back home to see my friends and an awesome worship experience. That was beautiful. Jesus, I pray for everybody in this room and their marriages, or anybody that's going to be listening or watching online, that Jesus, you would protect and just strengthen their marriages, that you would better equip us as husbands, wives, that Jesus, we could find strength and protection in your word. And Jesus, I pray for those whose marriages seem totally lost. Jesus, will you meet them and will you reveal yourselves to them in a new way? Jesus, I just pray for those who don't know you at all. Jesus, they would meet you and they would see that you seek and save the lost and that there is hope for them in your son. In your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so the obvious thing you've got to realize is that you're in the game, right? You got married, you got drafted, you signed up for this, so now what? But do you realize something? Well, first thing you got to realize, obviously, is click slide. Your marriage is under attack. First and foremost, your marriage is in attack in ways you probably don't even understand. in ways you may not even realize. Do you have any idea how many bad influences there are that will work their way into your marriage? Just turn on your TV and tell me how marriage is being communicated on your favorite TV shows. And what's really telling is that we actually set our DVRs to record those shows so we don't miss them. For a few examples, Mad Men. We all love that handsome, dapper womanizer, Don Draper. That man sleeps with his wife, sleeps with other people's wives, he sleeps with his children's school teachers, he sleeps with prostitutes, and we are so sad that they didn't renew season 7. Scandal, ladies, y'all know you're watching Scandal. Just new season just started on Thursday, right? Yeah, careful. That's the story of the president of the most powerful man in America, the world, the president of the United States, having an affair with his campaign manager while his wife is sleeping with the vice president. And don't get me started on Grey's Anatomy, aka Sex in the Hospital, Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, Sopranos, all of our favorite TV shows, and absolutely plagued with infidelity and adultery and divorce. Or the movie theaters, right? My wife and I went to a movie a little while back. We sat through this movie. It was funny. So the plot of the story is all the kids have grown up. They're all adults now, and then their dad dies. So they have to come home for the funeral and spend a week with mom as she's mourning the loss of her husband. And every person in this family has a horrible marriage or relationship, like everyone. We paid $8 to see this, and it promoted the worst advice. The one brother, he's advised to cheat on his wife because she's cheated on him, so that's how you even the score, right? That makes sense. The sister is told to sleep with her high school sweetheart, but now that she's back in town, because her husband's checked out. He's too busy working, so he's not even around. The older brother's sterile, so his wife is trying to sleep with her brother-in-law in hopes that she can get pregnant while she's there during the funeral. And the youngest brother is encouraged to just stay wild and young and free and sleep around and have all the beers and have all the fun until he finds the right girl who can give him every single thing that'll make him truly happy. And then there's the newly widowed mom, right, who we discover has secretly been having a lesbian love affair with the woman across the street all these years while her husband's been dying. Every single atrocious sexual perversion is glorified and promoted in this movie. Sleep with another woman, sleep with another man, sleep with your ex, sleep with the high school sweetheart, your husband's brother, sleep with the older, more successful woman, indulge in the homosexual relationship with the lady across the street. But the one flag this movie didn't even attempt to plant, don't give up. Love your spouse. Fight for your marriage. What a shame. I know literally nobody's going to go home tonight and consider the shows that they're watching, maybe even consider actually deleting them. I know you won't, but imagine if we did, right? I think God would really bless that. Because you just turn off the TV, right? We all just go move up into the mountains and hang out and start this weird little cul-de-sac together. That'll prevent all the problems, right? What about our friends, our family? Did you know that good, awesome people can give you really bad advice? Even harmful advice for your marriage. Your neighbors, your coworkers, the lady at the cash register, the dude on the bus. Don't ever listen to the dude on the bus, by the way. But maybe it's your own parents and your in-laws. I mean, everybody wants to give you advice. Everybody has something. I got something. I'm going to post it on your wall tonight. Everybody's got to tell you something. The point being, if you're not in the game, fighting for the best marriage, then somebody or something else will fight for it. And I promise you, what you allow into your home, and your computer, and your phone, the movies, and the TV shows you watch, even what your friends and family will tell you, it can have a tremendous influence on you. Good or bad. Your marriage is under attack more than you realize. So what about statistics? I know you're like, Brian, I'd love to believe you, but I'm hoping for a statistic or two. Well, here we go. Last statistic I read said around 40 to 50% of marriages end in divorce. That's Christian and non-Christian. In a survey, it said over 20% of men has said and admitted to cheating on their spouses, their wives. That's just unbelievable. That means one out of every 5 men in this room, that's the statistic, just relax, has had an affair on their spouse. And 15% of the women has admitted to cheating on their husbands. And that's just actually who admitted to it, right? I mean, it's sad to think how much higher this statistic actually really would be if the people taking the survey were honest. Another question you're asked in a study, if you could guarantee that you wouldn't get caught, would you cheat on your spouse? 80% said yes. 80%. 8 out of 10 people who took this survey said they would cheat on their spouse if they were guaranteed they wouldn't get caught. Many of you have seen recently, there's a website online dedicated to helping you have an affair successfully on your spouse without getting caught, and all their information got hacked and leaked. God will not be mocked there. Thousands and thousands of marriages have been destroyed as a result. So combine all this bad advice, bad influence, and straight up just flagrant sin into a marriage that may already be struggling, like you guys can't get along, always butting heads, arguing, can't work out the problems you have, maybe you're not even talking. Combine all of those things, it's just a recipe for disaster. Maybe you feel like that's where you're at tonight. I want you to know that there's hope. For those of you who realize you're struggling in your marriage, there's hope. But you've got to turn around. You've got to get back to the starting point. You've got to get back to the starting point. Point number one is we need to make God our starting point. Jesus Christ must be that flag that we plant in the ground and where we draw the line in the sand and we say, hey, this is my team and he's my coach. I'm going to be over here for a while. And if you're not a Christian, then your first and most important action point tonight is that you need to become a Christian. You need to come to know and love and be satisfied in the God who created you. If you're not a Christian, come talk to me after service tonight. I'm going to be right there. And please, there's nothing I would want more than to talk to you about my faith and tell you about how amazing my God is. But there's great comfort for us when God is our protection and when God is our lighthouse, like Psalm 91 says. When life gets hard, when all the waves start crashing, when the world throws its problems and its lies and deception at us, the Christian can say, Christ is my shelter. He is my strong tower. We have a sense of security when things get ugly and the weather gets bad. We have protection. Jesus Christ has to be your rock and your sure foundation. In the good times and the bad, because not every day is going to be all sunset and lollipops. I mean, many people who aren't Christian, and many deceived Christians, they think that that's how the Christian life is portrayed. Like, that's just how it just looks on paper. Like, everywhere a Christian goes, like, birds are always chirping, and butterflies are always landing on your baby's heads. And it's just like, your life and your faith and your marriage just never has any real issues. Like, the Christian life is all diddly-darn terrific, like our homie Ned Flanders, right? I don't know if you've seen the episode where Homer stops going to church, and then there's a fire. He falls asleep, and his house gets lit on fire. Ned saves him, and then the fire spreads over to Ned's house. And the second the fire hits Ned's roof, God shoots down this little rainstorm and then throws a little rainbow on it to just show Ned how much he loves him. Or, I don't know if you've seen this episode, where Ned and his family are recreating Moses going down the stream, and little Toddy goes down the river too fast, and he's going to fall off a cliff, and it's going to be the end of the world. So Flanders gets on his knees and he prays. He says, Flanders to God, get off your cloud and save my Todd. And the God opens up the skies, shoots a stream bolt of lightning, knocks a tree over, and saves Toddy from flying off the little waterfall. And then Ned goes, thanks, God. And then God goes, oakley dokley. But this is not reality. That's just not Christianity. Not all of our days are flan-ditteriific. I mean, our lives, our marriages, we have rough spots. We have trials, and if we're honest, there are moments when our lives and our marriages look a little bit more intense, like this, right? The waves are crashing, and you just feel completely isolated and alone. And so our marriage, or life in general, can just be really hard. But the Christian recognizes that in those moments, they have a foundation that's unshakable. We can handle any storm, in the good times and the bad. But God must be our starting point. He must be our standard, because the world will change, but God doesn't. This world, your social media, your Twitter posts, the news feeds, trending diets, and get-rich-quick schemes, everything and everyone's going to try and point you in some new direction, new advice, a new way to fix this, a new way to lose 10 pounds like this. Every day a new idea gets thrown at us, and we listen, we entertain it, we try it, and then the next day, some new idea gets thrown at us, and it tells us that what we were doing yesterday is now wrong. South Beach diet, the Slim Fast diet, Weight Watchers, Atkins, HCG, paleo, juicing diets, raw food, go vegan, CrossFit. It's just this never-ending cycle of what you used to do isn't good enough, and now you need this new thing instead. Three easy payments at $49.99. And yet never really truly grasping what the real issue and what the real need is in our life. We live in a society that promotes these never-ending ways to fix yourselves up, but in reality, they just never really fully deliver. But Jesus keeps the same standard. Like it says in Malachi, it says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Or in Hebrews 13, it says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Jesus' words are our standard, and they never change. They are the same yesterday, today, forever. Not only is Jesus to be our standard, but we were to actually listen to him and obey him and trust his word as well. Like Proverbs 3 says, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." Notice it doesn't say lean on Dr. Phil, Oprah, not on some Twitter post or a mom blog. It says we need to trust in the Lord, not our own understanding. You got a smart 3-pound brain, but it's nothing compared to the Lord's understanding. You know, your pastor's here. We love you, and we are here to help you. Absolutely. We are available for you. We want to see you winning in your marriage. We want to see your marriage flourish and bear fruit and be amazing. But let me remind you, we all have the same standard. We are all going to point you to the ultimate standard, our coach, the divine playmaker, Jesus Christ. He's our standard. His word doesn't change, and we need to trust him, especially in our marriages. Point one, make God your starting point. Next action point for us tonight is model some godly people. That got messed up somewhere. Oh, there it is, yeah. Seems pretty easy, right? Did you know that the people that you hang out with will have an effect on you, your life, and your character? Who are you spending your time with? The Bible tells us to walk with the wise. Proverbs 15, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 13, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. That's simple, right? That makes sense. It seems so obvious, almost. God has clearly pointed us in that direction. Walk with the wise. But are you doing that, men and women? The Bible tells us there's some great wisdom in modeling some godly dudes and dudettes. Because who you hang out with is going to have a tremendous effect, tremendous influence on not only you, but it'll bleed into your marriage as well. Think about the people closest to you. Are they worth imitating? And if it's me, say yes. But think about the real all-stars in marriage, the awesome husbands and wives that you know in your life that you could be modeling, walking with, and learning from. Ladies, is there a woman that you can make an effort to spend more of your time with? Men, is there a more mature dude in the faith that you can be meeting with, asking questions, getting sound counsel from? There's wisdom in that. Pastor Josh, you all saw him last week, is a great example for me, and you'd never believe it. I know just by looking at us, we look like we literally have everything in common. But honestly, we're polar opposites. Like, last person in the world I thought I'd be hanging out with and doing life and ministering and pastoring with was old man Whitney. I mean, he's a little bit country. I'm a little bit rock and roll. But Josh is an amazing mountain of good counsel and wisdom in my life. Our pastor's still leading worship this evening. That guy's poured years of his life into me. And that man, he's smart. He loves the Lord. He has amazing kids. He has an awesome wife, a great marriage. And he's got a lot of years under his belt, too. And he's even got the gray hairs coming in to prove it. I'm quite sure that I'm the cause of many of those gray hairs. So. Or learn from a man like him, or Pastor Tony, or Tim Henry right over there, Cole Walters. Wow, there are some incredible husbands and daddies, and they have incredible, awesome wives. And you have direct access to them. Tim's literally right there. Friends, if you are not pursuing an older, wiser man or woman to model, to learn from, to imitate, then tonight is your nudge to go bug Tim. Raise your hand if you're married. If you're single, don't pout. It's okay. You can participate in the next illustration, I promise. So raise your hands if you're married. Raise them high. All right. Okay. Now, if you've been married for longer than 10 years, keep your hands up. Everybody else, hands down. If you've been married longer than 10 years, keep your hands up. Okay. Well, there you go. That's who you track down after church. I guarantee you, those men and women, they can teach you a thing or two. And to those older, more mature, wise men and women in this room, you need to realize something, that the younger people in this room, they need you. Don't grab your kiddos and head straight for the door the second the bell rings. Pursue these younger men. They need your guidance. They need your support. They need your wisdom. Help them how to be a better husband, a better daddy, a better leader. You wise, mature, older gals in the faith, young ladies need you too. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Who are you walking with? In this text, it implies that walking with the wise means that you follow the steps of the examples from those who are more wise than you. I'm not saying find a guy who's around your same age and y'all like to listen to Pantera and drink energy drinks all night. I mean, that's cool. Thanks for the invite. I'm fine with that. But if you're spending every moment of your Christian walk with the same people who walk and talk and dress and play and dance exactly like you, and again, there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's the case, then who's discipling you? Who's discipling who? Are you being discipled? Find a mentor, somebody to learn from. Get some outside perspectives on life and marriage, and find from someone who isn't necessarily in your immediate circle. Step out and draw from the well of wisdom from the older, more mature, seasoned believer. I'm not saying imitate everything about the older dude, older gal in the faith. You don't have to start listening to really bad music like them. You don't have to start going to bed at 8:30. Or Still, for example, you don't get advice from Still on how to button up your shirts, as you noticed. Never seen him successfully button up one shirt correctly in his whole life. We love you, Still. I love always seeing half of your chest, man. But seriously, pick that dude's brain. Walk with the wise. Bribe some older, wiser men and women with some dinners if you have to. Meet up for coffee. Find somebody who can really have an impact on your life. Learn from them. Like the rest of the verse in Proverbs 13, it says, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. You hang out with fools, you are going to reap the consequences. I promise you. This is what many of us called high school, right? But think about this in the same way as an adult. You model some wise, awesome, mature people, your marriage is probably going to be a little bit more on point, right? And if you spend some time with some foolish people, your marriage will probably suffer. You ever feel like God's grown you up like a decade or two from the rest of your friends from high school, and you look back at them and it feels like they're just trying to keep the senior year of high school alive? Like, I, for example, I'll go see my friends' bands play at a show from high school, and I'll see the old gang from high school, and we'll all hug it out. It's like, what's up, bro? I miss you. Yeah, party on. I love you. How you doing? What have you been up to? And it's always like, every single time, it's like, oh, man, you know, just living, bro, jamming. I'm working full-time again, though, so that's pretty tough. You know, but I'm probably going to quit again because I'm living at my mom's house again. But, you know, probably just going to focus on jamming with the band. I might just quit my job, just wash some dishes somewhere part-time, just trying to drink as many beers as I can and get more serious with the band, you know? It's just like, wow, dude, you're still doing that. Like, you're like 38 years old now. It's like, you've been 18 years old for like 19 years. It's moments like that where I'm like just on my knees like, thank you, Lord, you put some better people in my life. Maybe that sounds like the people you hang out with. Maybe it's time to find some grown-up friends. Be careful who you surround yourself with. The companion of fools will suffer harm. I'm sure some of the wives in the room this evening are like, amen, pastor. Nudge, nudge. Honey, you wrote that down, right? You single men and women as well. Don't think this doesn't pertain to you as well. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Apostle Paul says, don't be misled. Bad company ruins, corrupts good behavior. It will have a bad influence on you. I promise. It will corrupt. It will ruin your character and your behavior. Be careful who you are influenced by, who you are spending your time with. Moving on. Model some godly people, walk with the wise, and seek some counsel. Proverbs 18 says, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Like we already mentioned, go find some godly men and women to fill up your schedule with. Find people who are doing the things that you want to be doing, maybe even better, or they have the life, the marriage, the kids that you want. Ask them for help. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid to ask some silly questions. Don't avoid getting counsel. Don't be the husband who refuses to pull over and get directions. Like the verse says, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge. In Proverbs 9, it says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Again, makes sense. That's easy. Never stop being a learner. Take some notes. Read some books by some old dead Puritans. They'll whip you into shape. Download some sermons. Keep growing in your faith and in your relationships and in your marriage. Do this. I have an exercise. Now, I'm not saying I'm the wisest tool in the shed, but this verse in the Bible says to give instruction to a wise man and he'll be wiser. And I'm looking at y'all, and everybody seems pretty wise in this room. So let me just be biblical and try and help you out a little bit, okay? Grab a pen, a little exercise. I want you to do something. I want you to write down a list of three things that you do that you know your spouse doesn't like, okay? This is what you do. You stop doing that. You're welcome. That was free. You can thank me later. But seriously, you want some wisdom, make it a priority in your life. Make it a plan to become a better husband, a better wife. Make it a priority in your life to be a better husband, to be a better wife. Listen, your marriage should be something that you are always actively striving to be better at. We want to get better at our video games. And CrossFit, and styling our hair, and homeschooling, and all these things we wake up daily just trying to get better at. And yet none of those things should be above becoming a better husband or a better wife. See, your marriage shouldn't be on the same shelf as folding laundry or just brushing your teeth. Just something you wake up next to and you've gotten used to, and it's like, oh, hey, it's you again. Or, I mean, morning, sweetie. But if we're honest, we'll all admit we're guilty of that. Like when you wanted to become a pro basketball player, what did you do? You bought the Nikes, you started drinking Gatorade, you worked on that jump shot 2 hours a day in the backyard. You put in the work, right, to be the best. Or you wanted the best garden on the block. Once you realize you're 31 and you're probably not going to make it to the pros, so you tried home gardening. So you bug the guy at Garden Center every time you go to Home Depot. You buy the landscaping bricks that for your outdoor koi pond that costs more than the hardwood floors are in your own house, and you resaw the lawn every year, and you can tell the difference between perennials and annuals by the smell. But seriously, though, we do that. We want to get better at everything in our lives, with our cooking and guitar playing and home brewing, and we work harder at our jobs so we can get promoted and get raises. But what about your marriage? What are you doing to become a better husband or a better wife? Jump shot doesn't get any better when you aren't practicing. Flowers aren't going to live if you don't water them. And you know you're not going to get that raise when you're the person in the office that does as little as possible. Are you invested in seeking counsel, working hard, improving your marriage? I assure you, if you put some work in, God will do an amazing thing in your marriage. Seek some counsel. Here's another place you need to make some improvement, home improvement. This is a little more tricky because you know this area better than anybody. Manage your mind, point number three. Manage your mind. You may not even realize this, but what you allow into your mind has a tremendous effect on you, especially your marriage. Like we mentioned earlier with the movies and the TV shows and the music, I mean, we've got to take better control. We've got to do a better job at managing our mind. Christian, how is your thought life? For real, though. Take a second and honestly evaluate all the junk that's cycled through your head today. How you doing up there? The Bible tells us to flee and to run and to seek shelter from impure thoughts, like 2 Timothy 2. We turn our back on impure and lustful thoughts. And we're charged as Christians, people who have been bought with the price, dead to the old self, new creations in Jesus Christ, to not entertain those bad thoughts. Hateful, lustful thoughts, We just let those things regurgitate in our mind all day, and we don't even realize it. And the Bible tells us clearly we should be protecting the things that go in our brains. God wants us to do that. He cares about your thought lives, and he wants to help us in these areas as well. Because if you're honest, you know your own thought life can be one of the most impossible things to manage. But that doesn't need to be. These two verses have really helped me. Like God in his goodness has literally changed how the gears in my brain worked from old, little, dumb, immature, dead Brian, 23-year-old kid. But these verses are on speed dial. Psalm 119 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I won't sin against you. Did you know that you could control your thought life? You can do that. These verses have helped me over the years, not just in purity, but even with my fears and my anxieties. And Paul tells us in Romans, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You don't have to let your thought life just run rampant. Let God transform your heart and your mind. Meditate on God's word. Read your Bible. Listen to the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Keep your thoughts pure and flee from those lustful thoughts and desires the second they pop up. And instead, pursue righteousness and faith and peace. Those temptations and distractions, they will show up in your mind. Will you entertain it? You don't have to let those thoughts just linger. It's cranberries, right? Do you have to let it linger? Do you have to? Do you have to? Do you have to let it linger? I promise you, it's only going to grow and grow into an even more intense passion of lust or desire. Those sinful thoughts and ideas you think is just innocent daydreaming, it's actually growing up and maturing into things way more dangerous. Everybody's going to go download that song tonight, I'm sorry. Captivate your thoughts to Jesus. Store his words in your heart. You can do that. Don't let sexual temptation, lusting and staring and fantasizing and pornography get a foothold in your life. Did you know that Utah is the number one state for paid subscriptions to pornography? You know what the busiest day for pornography is? Sunday. And we hear that and we all put on our self-righteous caps and we're like, of course, leave it to those Mormons, right? Those hypocrites, right? But be careful, this statistic had nothing to do with religious affiliations. Friends, don't be fooled. I have no doubt, I know there are people in this room who are struggling with porn and possibly even extremely addicted to it. You may say, what's the big deal? It's not affecting my marriage. I've never cheated on my spouse. Never will. Never have, never will. How can you say pornography is the equivalent of cheating on my wife? Because Jesus Christ says that's what you're doing. You may not be having a physical affair with someone, but Jesus says in Matthew 5, even if you lust at another woman in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. Guilty in the eyes of God of adultery. God's standard goes way beyond what we think is culturally okay or acceptable in 2015. His word, his standards, his law, they don't change. Never have, never will. He doesn't confront us with this because he hates us, because he's a fun hater. He hates our freedom. He's the God who created you. He wants to protect you from ruin. We have to manage our mind. What we entertain in our brain, feeding those lustful desires, what our hearts crave, that's a serious issue. Don't ever say that just looking at another man or a woman, whether in the grocery store or it's the porn on your laptop, doesn't harm anybody, or that it won't cause any conflict or damage in your marriage. That's like saying staring at the sun isn't harmful. I want you all to go outside tomorrow, but don't really follow my advice. Don't do this. Stare at the sun for 2 hours and tell me it won't have an effect on how you see things. Ridiculous. You wouldn't do that. Friends, you can control your mind. Psalmist 101 verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Like Job said in chapter 31, he says, I have made a covenant with my eyes to not look lustfully at another girl. And you know what? That can be your prayer. That can become your new standard tonight. At the gym, eyes down, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. At the grocery store, I will not lust at another woman that's not my wife. That could become your new standard right now. I'll give you another example. Back in the day, I used to be a beer salesman, which is funny, because I've never drank a beer in my entire life. Anyway, it was a great job. God is very good to me in that. But my old job, the atmosphere, the language, the conversations that these men that I worked with had, the lusting that my coworkers had for every single woman that walked through the grocery store or we were at the bars working on accounts or restaurants or whatever, like, it was just, these guys were just vile. They were wild and crazy dudes. And I just wouldn't entertain. I would keep to myself. I would listen to my headphones, or I just work ahead on my handheld. It just kind of drove them crazy. They're like, dude, you don't drink, you're not swearing with us, you don't even entertain a little innocent staring with us. And it was a totally foreign idea for them, right? And they were like, dude, what's wrong with you, man? It's like I was the freak because I didn't join in their stupid conversations and three-year-old language conversations and gawk over every lady that walked down the aisle of the grocery store. Like, I'm not cussing. I have a vocabulary of more than 6 words. I have plenty of fun sober, and I refuse to Google over someone else's wife or daughter in a public grocery store, and something's wrong with me. I tell you what, you want to be rebellious in 2015? Don't brag about how you got wasted last weekend. Don't sit and stare at fully naked or half naked or completely covered people of the opposite sex like they're just sex objects. Everybody's doing that. You want to be rebellious? Love your husband. Love your wife. Serve them. Respect her. Clean up your language and your thought life. Don't set trash and wickedness before your eyes. You want to be the most rebellious dude or dudette at the office on Monday? Don't get a tattoo. Don't grow out your mohawk and dye it green. Read your Bible. Brag about how dope your wife is at the office on Monday. Nobody's doing that. Love your spouse. Brag about them. Again, be careful who you spend your time with. They can have a good or bad influence on you. We can raise the standard in our conversations. You don't have to join in and entertain stupid, lustful thoughts or conversations. Don't set wicked things before your eyes. You can do that. That can be your standard. You can take over your thought life. You can manage your mind. It's yours, literally. It ain't going anywhere. Let God transform your mind. And quickly here. Point four, minimize tempting opportunities. Protect yourself from things that you know causes you to stumble. Seems silly, right? That's really easy. But take some steps to minimize tempting opportunities. This means maybe getting rid of some things. I have friends who won't drink unless they have another stronger brother in the faith to make sure that they don't get out of control. I know people who won't drink, period, because they know it just doesn't end well. I know guys who have moved their computers out into the kitchen to prevent them from any sort of opportunity to do something foolish. I know people who have downgraded their iPhones to old school flip phone, no data flip phones. You can take steps to protect yourself and your spouse. This may even mean not going to see certain movies. You're going to be that guy. But believe it or not, there are plenty of movies that I won't go to or take my wife to see. Like in 45 seconds, I can go to Fandango app, and I can tell you if I'm going to go see a certain movie or not. There are websites you can check out like IMDb or kidsinmind.com or my personal favorite, www.doesthedogdie.com. This is a great website, by the way. For example, I gave you Old Yeller, for example. So what you do is you type in the name of the movie, Old Yeller, because you want to know, does the dog die before I pay to see this movie? Ratings, 12, which is very bad. Yes, the dog dies. He is shot by his owner after contracting rabies. So you know what? Not going to see that. My friend John, he's awesome. He goes west with us. He's a great guy. I love him. He invited me to come see this movie. It was like a bro movie called John Wick, which is sweet. It's Keanu Reeves, Keanu Reeves guy. And it's like an action dude movie. It's like blood and violence and kicking and fast cars. And it's like 110% bro. I'm like, cool, not a big deal. I didn't really mind. I'm not going with my wife. It's just an action movie. I'll forget about it. 5 minutes into the movie, guess what happened? The dog dies. It's been bugging me ever since. But you can protect yourself from certain things that you don't need to see, like the language or sex and nudity or violence or animals being killed on screen. You can minimize those temptations, those situations. Throw them out. And you can do this in private with your purity as well. There are accountability programs that you can set up that tracks your computer's activity. There's X3 Watch. There's CovenantEyes.com. You can block out temptations and websites, and you can protect yourself in your marriage. You can get yourself in an accountability group. You can find a faithful brother or sister who can meet with you regularly and hold each other to a higher standard in your purity. When you are regularly talking to a brother about your struggles, they can come alongside you. They can encourage you. They can help you and to hold you to a higher standard. Here's another idea. Do you have a passcode on your phone? Why? Take it off. Are you worried that, like, the cat's going to hack into your account and max out your iTunes? You want to minimize tempting situations on your phone? Pull the blanket off of whatever it is that you're hiding on the other side of that screen. You'll notice that when you're vulnerable to be exposed, naturally you'll minimize tempting opportunities. Be vigilant in purity. Point A. I'm going to cut this. Ephesians says, not even a hint of sexual immorality. God's standard is not one hint of sexual immorality. Don't entertain any opportunity, possibility for impurity, not even for a second. And if Jesus is our starting point, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is our unchanging standard, then his standard is not even a hint of sexual immorality yesterday, or today, or forever. Last point, magnify the consequences. Ask yourself this question, would this be worth it? Play out the scenario, the God-awful scenario in your head. You're not walking with the Lord. You're not walking with some godly people. You're not working on and improving and fighting for your marriage. You're not getting counsel. You're not getting advice. You're not managing your mind and your thought life. You don't minimize those tempting situations. And say that's just the tip of the iceberg, right? And you've let yourself go down that road even further, and you've fallen into the lusts of the world and your flesh and sin. You dive into something incredibly foolish like adultery. Think going down that road is where life is found. It will destroy you. It may have been enjoyable for a moment, but it will destroy you. Ask yourself, is this worth it? Proverbs warns us, not worth it. It says she only costs a loaf of bread, but in reality, it will cost you everything that you have. I mean, you don't just wake up one day and find yourself in that bed with another man and woman. It started with something little, and it grew from there. I know many of these men and women. I've seen it happen to them in their lives, in their marriages, them or their spouse. Somebody's entertained this idea of finding pleasure and happiness with another man or another woman, and it's completely ruined them. Think about it. Magnify the consequences if this became your reality. Friends, would that be worth it? I'm meeting with and counseling a couple right now. This is their reality. Horrible. Guys, this is serious. I don't say this to scare anybody, but I say this, my friends, because if you don't think this could ever happen to you, you need to be careful, lest you stumble, right? I read in a good book, it's called When Good Men Are Tempted. The author said, speaking of adultery, he says, if you say that this won't happen to you, if you think that you can't fall into sexual sin, you're saying that you are godlier than David, you're stronger than Samson, and you're wiser than Solomon. My friends, there are way more godly, way more stronger and wiser Christians than you, my friend, who have fallen. Friends, your marriage is under attack. You've got to get your head in the game. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Stay alert, my friends. Colossians tells us to put to death, therefore, that was earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity. Hebrews 14 tells us says, let marriage be held in honor among all. Do not let the marriage bed be undefiled. God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Christian, you should take these verses very seriously because Jesus Christ took those verses very seriously. Friends, what are you doing to improve and to protect and strengthen your marriage? We all need help. There's some truly, truly sound wisdom found in the Bible when it comes to protecting your marriage. Is your marriage broken tonight? God can fix it. Is your marriage under attack? God can protect you. Is your marriage sinking? God can rescue you. There is shelter when you run to God's word, the truth we find in the Bible. See, you're not the real game changer in your marriage. Jesus Christ is the true game changer. He is the game changer we need every day. And we need to run to God for help. And if you don't know how to do that, again, come talk to me. I want nothing more for you than to come to know Jesus Christ tonight in a real way, a personal, life-changing, saving way. You don't have to keep going down the path that you're on, friends. You can turn around. You can follow a better example. That's literally what Christianity is. Christian is a man or woman who recognizes that they don't have it all figured out, and that honestly, we're in quite a mess, and we need help. And Jesus is God who became a man to rescue us, not throw us a manual on how to not drown, but he actually saves us from drowning. And when we meet Jesus, the first thing we are told to do is to turn around. That's the religious word for repent, right? Just to turn around from what you think is right. Turn around. You're wrong. Run to Jesus. Turn from your former way of living and thinking and walking. And the Christian goes, again, wow, I'm a mess. I don't have this figured out. I could really use some help. You don't become a Christian and then no longer need help, right? Just like you don't get married and then you no longer need some guidance. Become a Christian tonight. John Calvin. Sorry, Calvinists. Forgive me. But if you're here tonight and you feel like there isn't much hope for your marriage, I just want you to know Jesus can redeem and he can rescue and he can strengthen your marriage. If it's lost, he can find it. If it's dead, he can resurrect it. That's what he does. He gives life to dead things. With God's grace, because of the gospel, there's hope for you, for your life, and for your marriage. So as we close, make God your starting point, because Jesus Christ doesn't change. His standard is forever. It stays the same yesterday, today, forever. Read your Bible. Believe it. Let it transform your life. Let it renew your mind. Do you have a Bible? Do you need a Bible? Come talk to me. I will get you a Bible. Don't leave here tonight without a Bible, okay? Unless you already have one. Don't rip us off like that. Two, model godly people. Find a mentor, someone with some experience. Learn from them. Grow with them. Walk with them. Imitate them. Seek counsel from them. Is there somebody in this room that comes to mind? Go to them tonight. It's not going to be awkward. Chances are by now, they know your marriage is a mess, and they're kind of waiting, anticipating for you to come talk to them. My phone number is on the back, and my email is on the back of your bulletin as well, and the other pastors as well. We're here for you if you need some help. If you want to meet, talk, you need some counseling, don't be scared to contact us, please. Point number three, manage your mind. Take over your thought life. Throw out any temptations. Raise a standard on what you're going to allow into your brain. Point number four, minimize tempting opportunities. Be vigilant in your purity. Throw out that laptop if you have to. Downgrade your phone's data plan. Unlock your cell phone. Get an accountability group. And magnify the consequences. Would it be worth it? Giving up and falling into some horrible sin, losing the game. My friends, that is not an option, okay? Amen? That is not an option for your marriage. Make God your starting point. Model godly people. Manage your mind. Minimize tempting situations. Magnify the consequences. And let Jesus Christ be the game changer in your marriage. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for who you are, Jesus, that you are the same yesterday and today and forever. And Jesus Christ, that you loved us and you became a man to die for our sins in our place. And Jesus, you conquered the grave to show us that we could have a fellowship and eternity and reconciliation with you. Jesus, we thank you that you redeem not only our lives, but you can redeem marriages. Jesus, we're broken and you can fix us. And our marriages, when they're broken, Jesus, you can fix them too. That is what you do, Jesus. We love you. I pray for my friends in this room this evening who are married, that God, that you would strengthen, you would just grow them closer to you. First and foremost, Jesus, draw them closer to you, and then draw them closer to each other, that Jesus, that three-cord bond is not easily broken. Jesus, we ask that you would protect their marriage, you'd protect their thought life, that they would find some awesome people to grow with. Jesus, for my friends who are struggling in their marriage, just show up, invade, ruin their day, and give them the gospel, Jesus. That's what they need. Lord, you know we're here for them. Pray for all my friends in this room that are single, that are one day have a desire to be married. I pray, Jesus, that they listened well, that they'd be encouraged, and there'd be some practical steps as well for them in their singleness to grow and prepare for that awesome day, Lord willing, they would be married. Jesus Christ, we love you. We give this night to you. We give our lives to you, and it's in your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.